Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Ah, yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus Brightolus. The worm's captivating neon color makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
The Starbucks Pistachio Latte will transport you to your happy place. The comforting flavor of pistachio, warm espresso and milk, all with a brown buttery topping, make today a good day. Order ahead on the Starbucks app.
And welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name is Quentin. I've got my brother Travis with me, and we are continuing our year-end tune-heavy episodes where we're just kind of diving into music that we've loved over the last year. Last week, we did our favorite discoveries of 2019. This year, we're going to... Well, I guess I could say this year, because this is going to be posted next year. You know what I'm saying? Today, we're going to dive into our top 10 tracks that came out this year. This is going to be another music-heavy episode, man, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, man. I love this time of year, dude. you're looking back, you know.
Yeah,
you're digging through your Spotify or your iTunes or whatever and just reliving those moments.
Yeah, and I feel like we've already kind of spilled beans, so you know, let's bring it up again. We're working on this 100 song playlist that we're going to have available on Spotify, where we're picking our favorites from the last decade. And we're not doing any, like, it's going to be one artist per song, you know, like, or one song per artist, I guess. We're not going to have multiple songs from the same artist. So it's going to be 100 different artists, our favorite tunes from the last 10 years. It's been a lot of fun putting this together, man.
The thing that frustrates me about it is that I know I'm missing something. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we did the best we could. You know, it's hard to go back in time, all the way back to 2010, you know.
Yeah.
And trying to dig up songs that you... I guess my test was like, is it a song that I still listen to? You know what I mean? That was the key. Like, am I still listening to this? And so it was kind of tough because, you know, if it was a song that came out in the last couple of years, it's probably on heavier rotation for me than a song that came out, you know, 10 years ago. Sure. So I would argue that the ones that I'm still listening to from 8, 9, 10 years ago are more so an indicator of a favorite song, you know, because I'm still listening to them years later. So I tried not to pick too many songs that came out this year, you know, because it's really hard to say if they will stand the test of time, like some of these other ones.
With artists that I love that have been, you know, steadily releasing albums over the last decade, I've purposely gone back to their older stuff, you know, and revisited some of those songs to see, you know, if there's something like, there's some songs on there that I just completely forgot about,
right?
And like just rediscovered with you know, a random playlist or something like that. So anyways, we're really excited to share it. We've reached out to friends, family, past guests to contribute.
Yeah, dude,
it's gonna be great. We're gonna release it sometime early next year, probably pretty damn soon, actually.
We're gonna release it with the very next episode, so it'll be available next week,
Monday.
Next Monday.
We're saying next Monday. This is the next episode that's we're recording it.
No, but they don't know that the next episode.
Oh, after this one,
yeah. When they're listening to it, the next episode will be that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. But hold on. We have to also mention.
Okay.
That the episode itself next week is going to be our top 10 from the last decade. And
yeah, I've been referring to it as our top 10 tens.
Top 10 tens.
Wait, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
Top 10. Oh, I see what you did. Mm-hmm. Top 10 of the tens. Mm-hmm. The decade. I see what you did.
Yeah, and dude, you want to talk about... We're talking about piecing together this 100-song playlist being hard. It's almost impossible to pick 10 songs to represent our favorites from the last decade.
Yeah, it was tough.
But, it's, you know, singles are totally on the table for this playlist.
Right.
Or for this.
You know, made it a little bit easier. Episode. Made it a little bit easier. But yeah. So anyway.
Anyways, just fucking. God, you guys stop talking. Let's listen to some tunes. That's what they're all saying, dude. That's what they're all saying right now.
All right. So we'll listen to some tunes then.
Let's listen to some tunes.
So let's. All right. So yeah, here we go. This is our top 10 songs that came out this year. Q, you're going to start.
All right, so Travis, you're familiar with the internet, right? And I'm not talking about AOL.
I was going to say, I mean, I build websites for the internet every day.
Well,
I'm surfing the internet right now, dude. I'm
talking about the band.
Yes.
We've talked about them a few times in the past.
They're kind of like a collective, right?
They're a collective. They're like this R&B, hip-hop, you know, neo soul, whatever label you want to put on them. They're kind of hard to describe, but yeah, like you said, they're a collective, and within the band they have members that are just on their own, just amazing musicians, and a lot of them do their own thing. Lead singer Sid the Kid, or she just goes by Sid now, she has her own solo album. They have a keyboardist named Matt Martians that kind of throws his own songs out every now and then. And a guitar player named Steve Lacy, who I have been a fan of over the last couple of years. He's released a few like little EPs and singles here and there. And he just released his first full-length album. Came out in May of this year. It is called Apollo 21. Or Apollo XXI. And I'm going to play the first song on the record. So there's actually no singles from this released. So it's all fair game. I thought it'd be cool to start this episode with a track that starts an album. It's a really cool little, it's a minute 40 song, nice and short. I feel like this song represents kind of what he's all about. Really simple but creative beats. And, you know, really thoughtful and creative lyrics. So this song is called Only If.
But your latch on tight when the coast is clear. If I could travel through time, I think I would tell myself from the past, you'll be fine.
Yeah, man, I like that a lot. I like how, like, the, you know, the the cymbal crash hit or whatever at the beginning was like reversed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of cool stuff happening in that song. And I love the dude. I love the melody and stuff. It was great, man.
Right? Yeah, dude. He's super creative. He's 21. He's a young dude.
Wow.
Yeah. I had referenced this interview that the internet did on NPR. I think it was for our Sade episode. I did that was my What You Heard for the Sade episode was a song by the internet. And in this interview, they talk a lot about Steve Lacy and just how like impressive he is as a musician. Like some of his early demos, he would, you know, show up to a practice sesh or whatever for the internet. And like he, you know, had just flown in from some other city, you know, and he's like, you know, those like phone apps that you can download that are pretty much like drum beat kits, you know, and like basically like recording programs that you have just in the palm of your hand. You know, that just come with like stock drum beats and synthesizer loops and stuff. He would just create songs with these super simple phone apps and like bring it to the people in the internet and be like, hey, this is just something I was fucking around with on the plane. And they would be like, what? This is amazing. You know, like,
yeah,
just the musicianship that like, you know, it just comes naturally to him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like I said, you know, a year ago or however long ago it was that we recorded that Sade episode, I'm just super excited to hear what else this guy's gonna do over the next, you know, decade, 20 years 30 years. I mean, he's just a kid, man. He's really impressive. Everything that he comes out with, I love. There will be a Steve Lacy song on our top 100 of the last decade for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. So that's my first pick. What you got for us, brother?
All right. So Q, do you remember on our music blog that we used to run called New Dust? I had a weekly post series called Electric Saturdays. You remember that?
Oh, I remember. Dude, I fondly remember them Saturdays being full of electricity.
So it was literally, there was no like post write-up or anything. It was literally, I just picked a song I picked two songs. The only criteria is that it had to somehow fall under the, you know, umbrella of electronic music, which is a vast and wide umbrella, right?
Totally.
Anyway, this artist was actually the first artist that was featured on Electric Saturday. His name is Luzine. He's actually from Seattle.
Is that how you're saying that?
Luzine. Lucine?
I don't know, man. Lucine is how I always said it.
Okay,
like a sign, like a sine.
Yeah,
wave.
Okay.
Let's right. Find this out.
I got you. Lucine or Luzine, however you want to pronounce it. So this guy, it's the stage name of Mr. Jeff. I can't tell what letters these are. McElwain.
Jesus,
dude. God, I can't tell. That's what happens when you use a sans serif font. I can't tell if it's an I or an L. Anyway, this guy is a native of oh my God, my mind is being blown right now. He resides in Seattle now, Q, but he was born in Dallas, Texas, Q. Did you know that?
He's born in Dallas and now he resides in Seattle.
It's like us. It's you and me.
Oh my God.
So anyway, that was like the start of, you know, this weekly post that I did that really got me heavily into electronic music, because, you know, I would essentially spend the week looking for two electronic tracks to bring to the table. So anyway, he put out a new record, kind of an EP, back in July. Actually came out on our birthday, Q, July 12th.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Dude. I'm not, dude. That's when it came out. Anyway, it's on Ghostly International, and we probably talked about that record label before on this podcast. Yeah. All right, so this song is called Turn Back.
Dude, I knew you were going to say Turn Back. I'm looking at the list. I knew you were going to pick that one.
Oh.
It's almost like we're twin brothers. Thank you. Yeah, dude, I'm all about that fucking down tempo, man.
Yeah.
And this is one of those perfect examples where, you know, we've talked about this before with this style of electronic music. Like, you got to listen to the whole song because
yes.
I had to fade it out at some point here, but
right.
I could tell it was continuing to build on itself, and you know, more layers were being added. I love that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's kind of that's the name of the game. You know what I mean?
It's a slow burn, dude. Yeah. It's a slow burn. You got to listen to it all the way through.
So here's a quote from Andy Kellman of allmusic.com. I think this is kind of because you said down tempo, which it definitely is down tempo, but there's a lot of other things going on in his music, right? He says, while there might be other producers who are more accomplished at making idyllic down tempo or placid IDM or abstract hip hop or haunting ambient techno or blipping, skipping minimal house, few, if any, are capable of covering all of that ground with such sharp consistency on one disc. Now, he was referring to his self-titled debut release, but that kind of covers sort of what you know, how he's able to blend all of these different subgenres of electronic music.
I was going to say, dude, can you reread all those?
Idyllic down-tempo.
Uh-huh.
No, that's just down-tempo. Placid IDM, abstract hip-hop, haunting ambient techno, blipping, skipping minimal house.
Yeah, dude. I need to remember those descriptors.
You know what IDM is, right?
Intelligent dance music.
Yes, that's my favorite kind of electronic music. IDM and downtempo. Those are my two. Like, that's my wheelhouse when it comes to the kind of electronic music that I like to listen to.
I feel like IDM, like, that's a little highbrow, dude.
Well, here's the funny thing, dude.
I only listen to intelligent dance music.
Here's the funny thing. There's a coworker of mine. She listens to like heavy EDM, like going to the EDM festivals.
Oh yeah, the four on the floor. Yeah,
totally. Yes. And so I mentioned IDM, and for the longest time, she thought that I made that up, in a pretentious way, like because I literally said,
God.
"Well, I listen to IDM. You ever heard of IDM?" She goes, "What's that?" It's intelligent dance music. And then she thought, dude. I was. You know, everybody knows me at the office as sort of like the music snob with the podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
But anyway, I finally sent her a Wikipedia page because when she told me, she's like, oh, I thought you made that up. And I sent her the Wikipedia page. I was like, I didn't come up with this term. Somebody else did. Anyway, yeah. So it's just great to see him still putting out music. I mean, he's been in the business since 99. So he's coming up on 20 years of making music. And he's still bringing the goods, man. So anyway, all right, let's keep it moving here.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do, dude. I think it's time for rapid fire. Let's fucking bang these out, man.
All right. No more little side stories here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, you remember Hatchie?
I think I remember that name.
So it's a Australian female singer-songwriter. She came out with an album this year called Keepsake. She falls into the dream pop shoegaze category. She's nice. It's just a really great pop record, you know, pop rock. I played a song of hers called Obsessed. I don't remember what episode I played her on, but it was my what you heard for the week. And this is another track from that album. This song to me is like, it's got that really great, like, 90s, like, Cranberries vibe. I just love it. So, again, this is...
I think
is,
that was my comment on them when you played them, that they reminded me of Cranberries.
It's one person. Her name's Hatchie.
Okay.
There's one person.
Her name is Hatchie.
Okay. No. Her real name is Harriet Pilbeam.
I can see why she goes by Hatchie.
Yeah. Hatchie. Look at my screen, dog.
I'm not looking at your screen all the time, man. I got my own two screens I'm looking at.
So this song is called Her Own Heart.
Thank you.
I love that style of rock. It's not, it's definitely 90s, like you said.
Yeah.
Absolutely, like 90s. Alt rock.
It's dream pop, dude. You know,
and, yeah, it is dream pop. You're right.
Just last week, we were talking about how shoegaze and dream pop fall into the same category.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just another side of that coin. It's more, yeah, dream pop. It's more poppy. You know, but it's got that, it's the guitar stylings that are kind of, I don't know, like washed out in like reverb and
right. The funny thing, dude, and I know we just said we weren't going to go on any tangents here, but I think we talked about this, how on our My Bloody Valentine episode that we did back in September, we talked about how shoegaze was coming up alongside grunge, or at least I think it predated grunge, and then grunge happened and grunge took over and shoegaze kind of got put to the back burner or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It seems to me, from what I am learning, is that dream pop and shoegaze has been steady this entire time. If anything, it has proven to have more staying power than grunge.
No, you're right, man.
You and I, you know, fell in love with this, the dream pop of the 2010s, of this last decade.
Yeah, but even when we were kids, dude, like some form of dream pop or shoegaze has been around
and there's plenty of bands that are still making dream pop right now.
Totally. So, and anyway, here's one of them, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah. Cool.
So speaking of My Bloody Valentine, this band was my what you heard for that episode, actually. So if I have an album on this list that we have covered in some way or another, I'm bringing a different track. So if you've been listening to our podcast, I don't want you to hear the same song again.
Yeah.
So anyway, this band is called, well, they go by a lot of different things, but for the most part, it's OCs. The OCs. The OCs, they go by. Sometimes they go by. What's funny is every way that you could spell the and OCs, they've released an album underneath that variation.
I was about to ask you, dude, do they go by like the O period C period?
No. Well, actually, they released several albums under OCS,
Look, if you're just looking at Spotify, it's just the OCs.
Right. But anyway, this particular record was released under OCs, so without the in front of it. This album is called Face Stabber, and it is definitely one of my favorite records from this year. I was tempted to put it on my top 100 list, but tried to find other songs that predated it, because I don't know if I'm going to like this in 5 years. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's the thing about that about the OCs. They're a chameleon band, you know? Every album's different.
Yeah, these guys are insane, man. And I actually saw, I looked up a concert that they did when they were touring for this record. And at this festival that they were playing at, I don't know if this is how they typically do it, but they had two drummers. I think that might be how they do it, actually. Two drummers on stage, essentially playing the same exact beat, like in sync with each other.
Dude, the only time I've witnessed that twice that I can think of. When I saw the Eagles of Death Metal They had two drummers. And when I saw Modest Mouse, they had two drummers as
Yeah. But anyway, it's awesome. Just visually, it's just cool to see that, you know.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun to watch them, like,
yeah,
either be, you know, in sync or playing something different, especially for me because I'm a drummer and I just
right. fucking, yeah.
That's the only, the only person that I care about when I'm at a concert is the drummer. It's the drummer.
So anyway, these guys are classified as garage rock, psychedelic rock, experimental rock, and I think that sums it up pretty well. This record, they described this album as, and I think this is kind of funny, SoundCloud hip hop reversed, a far flung nemesis of contemporary country and flaccid algorithmic pop barf. Yeah.
I love the SoundCloud thing.
I know.
Hip hop.
I know.
Right? SoundCloud hip hop. That's great.
So these guys are from California, but I'm pretty sure the lead singer is not American.
Okay.
Well, no, he was born in Rhode Island. Anyway, he had like an accent. I swear he had an accent, but maybe it's just a gimmick or something. I don't know. Anyway, the song that I played back in September as my what you heard on the My Bloody Valentine episode was called Fuxi, Fuxi. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a different song here today. This song is called Poisoned Stones.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed that track a little bit more than Fuxi. I remember you had mentioned like that this album was kind of in the prog rock vein. Like, yes. It kind of reminded you of Yes and the stuff that you said. Yes, it reminded me of it reminded you of that kind of stuff that Yes was doing, like with that album that we covered, Fragile.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some tracks on here that are, you know, 14 minutes long, 21 minutes long. So
yeah, well,
they also classify it as a progressive rock album. You called them a chameleon.
Yep.
Not every album sounds like this, but as it says here, this is a progressive rock sound that they have been exploring, as sort of heard on the previous two records, Orc and Smote Reverser. So they've kind of been in this sort of progressive rock, kick. For the last few albums.
So as much as I enjoy and appreciate, you know, the slow burner prog rock songs that are 14, 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, I also love just the standard format, you know, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And I really liked this song.
Yeah, and the drumming is great too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
All right. So full disclosure, this is a single. Just want to put that out there.
That's all right, dude. I've got a single lined up for us. That's going to be the last song I play as a single, but I had to play it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things. I just had to play it.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. All right, dude. What you got?
All right. So, you know Kane Alu, right?
Yeah, I do. Because
you remember this
that
guy?
That was one of our. That was a song that my brother introduced me to. Our brother, I should say.
Yeah, our brother. Yeah. So this guy's name is Trent Prawl. He goes by Kanaloo, and he just kind of sits in that like. He reminds me a lot of Toro y Moi, you know, or like that heavy like.
Chill wave.
Psych rock. Yeah, chill wave. Kind of reminds me of Prince, like the kind of stuff that Prince was doing back in the 80s.
Yeah.
He released an album this year called Lotus Gate, which is just a fucking gem, dude. I don't know if you've heard the album all the way through, but you need to. And I'm more and more intrigued by this guy and by his band Kanaloo. The more I look into it, because apparently he, you know, he's got a full live band that he's put together, and apparently when you see them live, they create this like more jam oriented interpretation of his recorded music. I'm all about that kind of stuff. When I'm seeing a band live, I want to see, you know, like interpretations, like they're saying, of the stuff that you hear on the record. I want to see something different, you know, when I see a band live. So I'm going to be keeping my ears perked up for when Kanaloo, if they ever come through here, I'm definitely going to check them out. So this is one of the songs from that album. Again, it is an album called Lotus Gate. This song is called How Do I Let Go of You? Those guitar riffs, dude, that, man, it's just, this whole album is just oozing with, like, I don't know,
it's very pillow, lush,
it's pillow talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. This is
heavy. You know, do you have any saying? I mean, can you vouch for, can you vouch for that? I'm just saying,
I can think of one instance.
Have you tested it?
we gotta keep this shit in.
Have you tested it yet?
This is talking about dirty laundry, dog.
All right. We'll move right along here. So,
yeah. Did you like it?
I will just say this. There's a lot of artists right now that are putting out music like this, right? We talked about a few of them, like Toro y Moi. What is his name? Chaz Bondic. That's his name.
Yeah.
But that's his name. There's few that do it in a way that like captures my attention or whatever. mm-hmm. lot of times I'll hear a band that tries to do this and be like, okay, yeah, there's another one that's trying to do that sound. But when I heard this guy's record, he captured my attention with it. So like he's doing some different things with it, you know. But yeah, you're right. It definitely sounds kind of like, you know, there's some 70s elements that he throws in there, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good stuff. Like you said, man, it's just one of those bangers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's banging. So yeah, dude. So before you get into your next pick, let's take a quick break. And we're back. All right, dude, what you got for us?
All right. So here's another artist that you may be familiar with if you listen to our older episodes or if you've been with us for a while now. I talked about these guys. This was my What You Heard for the Caius episode that we did back in early October, which is when this record was released. It came out October 4th. So this band is called Dive, D-I-I-V. In capital letters. Let me just quantify that. And I feel like for me, this has been like the year of shoegaze and dream pop. I've been listening to quite a bit of music like this is what I'm realizing. And this is one of those instances. So I fell in love with this record when it came out. The album is called Deceiver. And I saw these guys live. This is when I discovered that band that sounded like they were Nirvana, basically.
And then Chastity?
Chastity, yeah. And then I went down that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and that's how I came across Narrowhead, which is that band that I fell in love with. Anyway, these guys are not really in that vein. They may sound like Smashing Pumpkins here and there sometimes, but they're more dream pop and shoegaze than anything else. But anyway. We're going to have to listen to a good chunk of the song, Q, because there's something that happens toward the end of it that I fucking love. It's about 3 minutes and 30 seconds in where the shift happens. So maybe we can fade the song in toward the middle, but if we're down to just listen to it, let's just listen to it because it's got a great sort of build up and change that happens toward the 3 minute and 30 second mark.
So anyway, let's do it. Let's listen. Let's fucking start from the beginning, man. Let's do it.
Thank you. That's the only way to do this, right? All right. So anyway, one thing I will say, this record was produced primarily by the band themselves, along with a fella by the name of Sonny DePerry. Probably pronouncing that wrong. But
hang on, Sonny and Cher?
No. Sonny, yeah. You know, Cher's dead. I think both of them are dead.
What?
Well, Cher's not dead. Sonny's dead.
You're right. Sonny's dead.
Sonny's been dead for a long time, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
Sonny DePerry, probably pronouncing that wrong, but he is known for producing My Bloody Valentine and Nine Inch Nails. So there you go. Pretty well-known producer for this record. But all right. So anyway, this song is called Between Tides.
On and on, clockwise.
Yeah, man. I love how they change up that guitar riff at the end there and just sort of kind of go crazy with it, you know? Well, I love that.
Yeah. I love it. Maybe like 3 minutes in, they were straight up borrowing from My Bloody Valentine. Like in the... Yeah,
it's just
like fuzzy, like...
The fuzz and the reverb.
Yeah, that reverb, that like... signature My Bloody Valentine sound, dude. I love it.
I mean, it's a signature shoegaze sound, but yeah, famous by My Bloody Valentine for sure.
Yeah, dude, around the like the 3 minute mark, you hear that like glide guitar technique that the guitar player for My Bloody Valentine created. What's his name? Kevin Shields.
Yeah, it's the shoegaze sound, dude.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, man. It's great. Anyway, that record is essentially, I mean, kind of like I was saying earlier, man, shoegaze has been a pretty consistent genre, you know?
Yeah.
Since its inception in the 90s. So it's stronger than grunge, certainly, you know?
Totally.
Anyway, this album is an excellent example of how alive and well shoegaze is. So anyway, all right, Q, we're home stretch here. We got four more tracks to do here.
Home stretch.
So what do you got?
So this band is called Salt. This band is kind of known for their like mysterious nature. Like, we don't really know that much about them. That's kind of what they're doing it on purpose this way. The only thing we know about them is that one of the singers in the band is this artist. Her name's Melissa Young. She goes by Kid Sister. She is definitely in this band. We don't know that much more than that. And they've released two albums this year, two full-length albums just this year alone. One is called 5. The other one is called 7.
Well, what happened to 6?
I don't know, dude. Maybe they'll release 6 next year. I don't know. Mm. But I covered a song called Think About It earlier this year. And we're going to play another track from this album. So this one was called 5. This is the first one that they released. So these guys are just right in the, like, I don't know, funky, dancey, like... So, okay, I'm going to read from, you remember Gorilla versus Bear, right? They're still around, still kicking it. This is a music blog that we were competing with, I guess.
Yeah, we lost that battle, obviously. They're still going.
Oh, we totally lost that battle, dude. Yeah.
I don't think we ever had a chance, but yeah.
No, dude. But I'm going to quote from them here, describing Salt. They are a genre-defying collection of timeless dance, soul, funk, hybrid summer jams with a modern flair, ranging from irresistible party starters and disco-tinged anthems to gorgeous Midtown-inspired love songs. One of the most vibrant and exhilarating records we've heard this year. Talking about 5. This song is track 4. It is called Why.
That's a fucking jam, dude. So, like, dude, this album is
chock full of it, man.
Yeah, it reminded me of Steely Dan a little bit, if I can say that. Just the intro.
Okay. Yeah.
Just as far as that, like, jazzy kind of.
Yeah, dude.
You know, disco-y, fusion-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was tasty.
That's a great way to put it.
I like how the two records here, they both came out in 2019, like you said.
Yeah.
But they just use matchsticks to make the numbers, which is
interesting. Cool. It's cool, right? Yeah. Yeah, I like how the first one, 5, is used like Roman numerals. Yeah. Or not Roman numerals, because that would be a V, wouldn't it?
Oh, you're right. That's not Roman numerals, but that's something.
So we'll just cut all that out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're done. Yeah. We're done.
I know, dude. We've already established that many times over. Yeah. So again, we don't know that much about this band. Like, maybe it's kind of like the Nameless Ghouls or whatever from what are they called? From Ghost. Yeah. We just don't know that much about the members of this band.
Do they tour?
I don't know, dude. I don't know anything. You think I did my homework for this episode?
No.
I didn't. Oh. So what you got, brother?
All right.
Let's bring it home.
All right. We're bringing it. So this next track is from a little known band named Wilco, which I think everybody knows who Wilco is.
I love, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're our age, you probably know who Wilco is.
Yeah. They're arguably one of the greatest indie rock bands of all time.
I think so. Yeah. Jeff Tweedy in the game.
Jeff Tweedy. I mean, the guy, he's been on Parks and Rec, you know.
Yeah.
If you are a fan of that show, you might remember his band, Land Ho.
Holy shit. Did you just pull that out of your ass?
Yeah, dude.
Holy fuck. What was the name? Land Ho?
Land Ho, yeah.
Man.
Anyway, so we got the chance to see them a couple months ago. And I was just reminded about how amazing these guys are. And they put out a new record this year. The record actually came out the same day that the Dive record came out, October 4th. So anyway, you know, there's not much to say about Wilco that you may not already know. Or what am I trying to say? It's just one of those bands that I think everybody knows about.
What you're trying to say is let's just fucking play the tune.
Let's just play the tunage. At some point, we'll probably cover a Wilco album.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not going to happen right now. So let's listen to this song here. It's off their latest record, Ode to Joy. This song is called White Wooden Cross.
White wooden cross by the side of the road.
Just a classic Wilco track, you know. And his voice is just so iconic, you know.
Yeah.
It's unmistakable. Like, he's got one of the most unique voices in rock, I think.
So I feel like I got to tell the story now that I got the chance, man.
Okay.
You know, I lived in Austin when I right out of high school. I got to see them play at Austin City Limits right after Sky Blue Sky came out. So 2007.
Yeah.
But so, you know, Austin City Limits has the like studio recording videos that they, I think it's on PBS that they release them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The iconic. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we stood in line to see Wilco because they did a session for that studio recording. And dude, we literally were next in line to get into the studio and they fucking stopped us and said, sorry, we're at capacity.
Now you said you saw them live though.
Well, I saw them at ACL, which is like, just your standard music festival, you know? But yeah, we were that close to seeing them in the studio,
man,
for ACL, dude, that fucking close,
man. Dude. If only you guys, you know, didn't take the bus or whatever.
Yeah.
There's right, so many things that have to happen.
There's so many factors, man. I know. You know what? I don't like talking about it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it up because, you know.
Well, anyway, if you saw them for that tour, that must have been incredible. It was great, that might be the record, man, that we talk about at some point.
Totally. Yeah.
Anyway, one thing, man, I got a shout out to the guitar player because seeing him live, little did I know, because I'm such an idiot, this guy, his name is Nels Klein.
Yeah, he was in a band.
He's a prolific guitar. He's been recording and releasing music since the 80s. And joined Wilco back in 2005.
After Sky Blue Sky. Okay. He was there for the recording of Sky Blue Sky.
Yeah, which is funny because that's one thing that I remember the most about Sky Blue Sky is the guitar work. Anyway,
what are the other bands that he's played in?
Well, he's got, you know, he does solo stuff basically. Mm. And he had a Nels Klein trio, the Nels Klein Singers.
Okay.
With some group called Quartet Music. But listen to this, Q. He primarily back in the 80s, he played jazz, often in collaboration with his twin brother Alex Klein, who played the drums. That's just like you and me.
Just why like couldn't you
we,
and I.
We didn't, we never did that. Instead, we made a podcast instead. So there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so that's that, man. It's Wilco being Wilco. You know, they can do no wrong, like you said. So anyway, all right, Q, what you got? Last track for you.
All right, so you remember Juniore, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, dude.
So, remember when we busted out that little violin for me last week?
Yes, we did, yeah. I remember. I busted it out twice, actually, for you.
Yeah, so, you know what? I don't know why I brought this up again, because we did this one together, but after this sidetrack, I was all by my lonesome for a few weeks. We were leading up to our Strokes episode, and we covered Juniore as a sidetrack, and then I did my own thing for a couple weeks. Juniore is kind of, they fall into this category of French pop music. They are kind of drawing back to this 60s pop sound. Remember the term yeah yeah? How can you forget it?
Yeah yeah, good too.
Yep, exactly. Sandlot.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was a term.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It references this specific style of French pop music from the 60s that originated on this radio program that like brought forth these French pop artists that it was just very specific, like bubblegum pop kind of, you know, happy-go-lucky pop tunes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Juniore kind of tapped into that sound. They've been making music since probably around 2010. And this is a single, okay? Just throwing that out there. This
that's
is a right, single.
Kid. You know, that's
but
right.
I love this song so much, I had to share it. This is definitely one of my favorite discoveries of this year. So... without further ado, here is that tune.
That's a callback.
That's a callback, dude. All right, this song is called Abba de Cord. That's how she says it, dude.
appelle un petit joueur. Un gros défaut de fabrique. L'emballement psychosomatique. Bouffé délirant de chaleur. Affiché au relevé du compteur. L'extrasystème mélancolique. Entre nous deux, entre nous deux, entre nous ça va faire un malheur. Ah bah d'accord.
Yeah, man. I've listened to quite a bit of their stuff since you introduced me to them, and they're great, man. It's just great stuff.
They've got this like attitude. It's all just like surf guitar, like.
And she has a very straightforward delivery, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It adds to the attitude, like you said.
Yeah. Great, I don't know, noir.
Yeah.
You
know? Sure.
I love it.
Yeah, I got you. Especially with the imagery that they use. It's a lot of black and white.
Yeah. All their album covers are very similar.
Man, really great.
Apparently, the lead singer does all the artwork for all their albums.
Yeah, it's awesome. Dude. Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yep.
All right last man. Track, dude. Last track. Here we are.
Let's fucking take it home. Let's bring it home.
Dude, I've got a doozy for the last track. So this is something that we've never done before, Q. This is the very first cinematic score that we're talking about here. Which, you know, I've kind of hinted at we love electronic music, but we haven't really covered much of it on this podcast. I don't know if I've mentioned my love for video game scores, but I don't think I've ever touched on that really on this podcast. So there's a lot of areas that we haven't really, you know, touched yet. But movie soundtracks is another one of those genres, if you will, if you want to call it that, that I absolutely love. Sometimes I'll listen to, I mean, especially with video games, a lot of times I'll listen to a score and never having seen the movie or play the video game. You know, I just love the sound of movie scores and thematic scores, you know. This little-known score here is for the Disney Plus series The Mandalorian, which a lot of people have seen. So I feel like I don't need to caution with spoiler alert, but I'm going to, because I'm still going to say spoiler alert in case you don't want to. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to know the scene to appreciate the song.
Go ahead.
This is nothing major, but I think everybody has seen Baby Yoda at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you've been on the internet in any way, shape, or form, you've seen a picture of Baby Yoda. So anyway, this is the first scene where we see his powers. I'll just say that. This is a fight scene between the Mandalorian and this creature called the Mudhorn.
I mean, dude, I might as well not even watch it now. Thank you.
This is not really a big plot point. But the point is, Mandalorian's getting his ass beat by this giant. It basically looks like a giant rhino, right? It's got this giant horn. It's called the Mudhorn. And, you know, the Mudhorn's charging at the Mandalorian to kind of do the death blow, the final blow. And then Baby Yoda, known as the child in the series, uses force to sort of halt and float and levitate the Mudhorn, like stop him in his tracks, basically. Which gives the Mandalorian time to sort of stab him and kill him, right? So it's a very important scene to the show because it's the first time we see the powers that the child has. Anyway, the name of this guy, I had to look up his pronunciation. He's a Swedish composer. His name is Ludwig Göransson. And he is known for, really, he kind of made a name for himself with his Black Panther score that he did. And now he's just on the rise, man. And the stuff that he does on this soundtrack is just amazing. The music for The Mandalorian is incredible. So anyway, let's just listen to it. The song is called The Mudhorn, and this is another one where we might as well just listen to the whole song. So here we go. We'll be right back. Just amazing, dude. Amazing.
I mean, I haven't seen this scene, but I saw it.
You probably can tell when I saw it. Yeah, you could. Yeah, I mean, it's a cool sound. Whatever that sound is, that main, the drums and everything. That's the battle happening.
Yeah, it was very percussive. Tell. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you heard just a little bit of it, but the main theme for The Mandalorian is sort of this sort of Western flute sound.
Yeah.
So I'm reading an article here in the New York Times about, so the name of this article is How Ludwig Göransson Became Director's Secret Musical Weapon. So in other words, this is how this music is so important to this show. It says the key to the modern Western sound of The Mandalorian is a flute theme that Göransson came up with once Jon Favreau, who is the director, shared his vision, which involved a lonesome rider and a samurai inspiration. So the series exists in more of a dystopic part of the Star Wars history, Favreau said, and technology and deconstruction are themes that we explore. And I feel like you get that sound, like that sort of technology and destruction. You kind of get that feeling from this theme, you know, from this music. It's got some electronic music elements to it. It's not purely orchestral, right?
No,
which totally. I think is important for like the Star Wars universe. You know, that's kind of what it is. It's technology and sort of this like they're saying dystopian, sort of Western, more gritty feel. That's what the Mandalorian show kind of does. It shows us a sort of a different part of the Star Wars universe that we've never seen before, which is why everybody loves it so much. But anyway,
yeah, that flute sound is like straight up good, the bad, and the ugly. You know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so he does that masterfully. Anyway, this guy's on the rise right now. He just did... Have you seen the preview for that movie called Tenet, the latest Christopher Nolan film? It's about like,
yes.
I don't
yes,
know, time travel or death or something.
Something, yeah.
So he did the score for that. So that just tells you, if you're scoring for Disney and Christopher Nolan, like you're on the rise, you know?
You're doing all right.
You've already peaked, basically. So anyway...
All right, man. So that's it, dude. Good tunes on this episode, man.
Yeah, I feel like
it was fun.
A wide range of sounds there.
Yeah,
which is what we always strive for.
Yeah, dude. And you know what, dude? We gotta wrap this up because I'm looking at the timestamp, and this one's a doozy.
Yeah.
So as always, check us out on the Pantheon Podcast Network. It is a music podcast network that we are super happy to be a part of. There, you can find a lot of great music podcasts. You can also check us out on our website, nofillerpodcast.com. There you can dive a little bit deeper with our show notes, where we have references to all of the source material that we pull from for all the information that we cover in our episodes. And yeah, we're rounding out this year, and we're gonna start the next year with another tune heavy episode. Next week we're gonna cover our 10 favorite songs from the last 10 years. So,
yeah. And I, you know, as we mentioned before, there's also going to be a Spotify playlist that we're going to make available to you all. That will be our top 100 non-singles from the last decade, which was quite the feat to put together. So
yeah,
we're excited totally. To share that with you guys, and we'll give you a little bit more information on it next week. So, yeah, Q, that's that, man. Another great episode with lots of tunage, which is what we're all about. So we will see you guys. And by see, I mean you will hear us next week with another 2019 recap, the last of this little series here, and then we'll get back to our normal programming. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about, dude.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We haven't looked that far ahead yet, but. Yeah. But we'll give you guys the deets on all that later. All right. As always, my name is Travis.
And my name's Quentin.
See y'all next time.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.